Yeah, so you said that you were in charge of that radio.
Yeah, they're very important. So I have to watch the people go in and go out. And
what company was it? Is it Air Force?
That's an airport.
Airport.
Yeah, not airport. I mean Air Force base.
Oh, Air Force base.
That's where they get all the equipment and different things on there.
I see.
Order from the government.
Uh-huh.
That's a warehouse.
Uh-huh. So you worked there for a year and then you
and
left.
Then I left. I worked there more than a year. Worked all together maybe, and they used including my service time. And my post office time, the all civil service, federal. See, all to get put in, I got about 15 years, a little over 15 years there. So why I left there is the place is closed down.
I see.
Most all the places closed down because the government closed it down. So anyway, so I know I was there a pretty long time, so I wasn't the last one to let go. And so I said, well, it's just about time for me to let go because only a few people working there only now. Gee, there are 1,000 people working, only maybe a couple hundred people left. See? So I said, time for me to go look for another job. So, you know, in other words, they always put on the board, they say, for us to go certain jobs and you go and take a test and all that. It's on the bulletin board every day. So I go and look there. So I said, well, there's a school board over here. Not much going to the school board. So I went and took a test, and like I got in, I passed. They supposed to call me in on, I think January or February, something like that. On back in 49 or 48, 49 I think, in January, and called me as a temporary. I said no. I said when it's a permanent job, I come before I come. So I'm still working there, see? And then about in June, I think, a few months later in June, they called me again, there is the job for me, permanent job. So then I told over here, that I got the permanent job over the school board. So so I quit Friday over here. Monday I started the job and didn't lose no time.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Everything, you know, everything arranged already. See, they, you know, they know that we're leaving this. Otherwise, they gonna, of course, I could go back another federal job, like one in San Bernardino, one what kind of Vista, Pearl Vista, or something like that, and some back east, Dayton, Ohio.
I see.
See, different places.
So
I didn't want to go. See?
So you worked for the LA school board?
So I worked for LA school board.
Since then, and you retired?
I retired there when I got there for 18 years.
Oh.
See, I was going to stay there for 20 years because I got about 2 more years to go. And all be 65 before I quit, but on account of my back, I got hurt my back. So I went to the hospital. And, you know, the disc, I got the disc come out and took a disc out. Then I worked for, of course, the manager, the head man was pretty nice to me. And he always give me somebody help me out. He know that I couldn't do any more, heavier work.
Right.
You have to do very, very light work.
What type of job was that? What type of work did you
do? Well, on the school board, for packing, you know, packing, and from beginning, packing. From beginning, when I got that job, this one, see, mostly the colored people working at 99%, I would say. And I'm only the Chinese, second Chinese in that warehouse. But the first Chinese working there, well, he worked with me in Quan Quan. He quit there, got fired from there, I mean. And he went to the school board. He's the one that told me, he said, school board's good. So when I got to the school board, he left that department, go somewhere else.
I
don't know where he went, see. So I consider I'm the first Chinese, right, because he only worked a couple months there. So I'm considered the first Chinese work over there and the first Chinese retired from them. See, this fella, he's much younger than I am. So anyway, when I first got going to the packing, and I have a hard time to keep that job because the colored fella, he's in charge of them. They had an elite man. He didn't like me a bit. He wouldn't get all kinds of way to fire me. I always one step ahead of him. See? He trying to use his excuse to fire me is this. He told me packing, said, he told first, he explained me how to pack this bag. Uh-huh. So I do the same thing, he said, oh, it's no good. Uh-huh. I do exactly what he told me, and it still is no good. Uh-huh. So when come a rating, so they just like report card, right. Give you a rating in 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He give me unsatisfactory.
Uh-huh.
Okay? When you get twice or three times unsatisfactory, they let you go, uh-huh. They fire you. Uh-huh. But I'm one step ahead of him. I just happen to know the big boss in that place over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I start working, I start conversation with him.
Right.
He's like me, see?
Uh-huh.
And besides, I have some property in, from the government,
mm-hmm.
and have to develop before you you would get it.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got halfway,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have enough money to develop, so I told him to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we gotten good with that, see?
Uh-huh.
And then when I get that report, I hand it over to him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's going on? He mm-hmm. said, nah, so you don't have to worry about it. He took him down there and it changes. The satisfactory.
Oh,
so he did.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he got mad at me, you know. So the second time he did the same thing again.
Uh-huh.
I said, I took it to him again
uh-huh.
the second time. So you have to change it back again.
Uh-huh.
See? So that's how I got to stay. Then finally, the big boss said, I got transferred to the groceries department.
I see.
See, uh-huh. this was the general department.
Right, right.
See, grocery department. So he asked me, he said, I'm going to get transferred to the grocery department. Would you like to come along? I said, sure.
Uh-huh.
That's how I got the grocery department until now.
Ah, until
I retired.
I see.
And on the end, about for a year, then, I was more or less a boss myself.
In the grocery department, what did you do? As
From beginning, and that is another story from the beginning. This lead man, he took a look at me,
mm-hmm.
kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
He said, with this hard work, I never could make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there. Right away, he put me on fueling.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy stuff, you know, the 100-pound sack. You got to throw them on there, see? Because when I ordered by school,
mm-hmm.
say flour, rice,
uh-huh.
it was 100-pound sack.
Mm-hmm.
And number 10 candles, big can.
Uh-huh.
See those gallon can light?
Uh-huh.
See, and there's six in a box. That's heavy. It's around about 60 pounds.
And you have to deliver.
I have to pick it up and put on the buggy.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, get the, see, we have a sheet. See what we want, what
yes,
we want. See?
Right. Uh-huh.
And that way it's filling. So we've got to uh-huh. fill it up. And then when you fill it, you pull it out and put it in one spot, you got to check.
Uh-huh.
After checking, you got to pack it now.
Uh-huh.
Checking is a different group, packing another group,
uh-huh.
filling another group.
Uh-huh.
See? So I got a filling. So at first, when I started working over there, and everybody get through around about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and they go down and sit down and do nothing but playing cards and tell each other a joke and bawl each other out and things like that. I said. And the first day, second day, third day, fourth day come along, I said, hey, everybody, every day like that, well, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it too.
Uh-huh,
see?
Uh-huh.
So in the meantime, I've been struggling along trying to learn, you know. So I did. Everybody sit down, I go sit down
uh-huh.
with them, see?
Uh-huh.
I got away with about three or four days.
Uh-huh.
See, Sunday he called me in the office.
Uh-huh.
He said, look, he said, it's not for you to sit down there.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the people got their work done.
Uh-huh.
They could sit down. But when you learn, you stay up there, learn the stock well, and get your share of it,
uh-huh.
you start, then you go sit down.
Uh-huh.
See, well, I told him, I said, I didn't know what the procedure is. I see everybody do, that's what I do.
Uh-huh.
I said, look, I said, you have no trouble with me.
Uh-huh.
From here on.
Uh-huh.
Boy, did I learn fast a lot.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So in about a couple of weeks later, I learned the line. I do just as much as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
See? Later on in the future, in fact, I was one of almost number one
uh-huh.
filler in there.
Uh-huh.
See? Then they take it out of there, put it in packing.
Uh-huh.
See? I was number one packing then.
Uh-huh.
See? Then they took me out of packing and put me on checking.
Uh-huh.
Checking is the best job, see?
Uh-huh.
I didn't do anything like offensive. In fact, I was one of the best checkers, too, because when they come and rate it, every month, see, they have how many mistakes you made,
uh-huh.
you know, for this whole month.
Mm-hmm.
See? Like some people, think he know, all you do is just close the side and check, you know,
mm-hmm.
and think everything's there, but
uh-huh.
it's not.
Uh-huh.
I just watch every move, every check, see?
Uh-huh.
And I check. Well, I do make mistakes,
uh-huh.
but not as many like
uh-huh.
some other people do, uh-huh. see. I would say one of the good checkers. See?
So you did good job.
Good job,
the,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
So another fellow actually do the converting room.
Mm-hmm.
He do nothing but converting.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a little bit harder job than checking, see. Mm-hmm. So he retired. Mm-hmm. And I got in there because everybody fighting for that job.
Uh-huh.
Because if you work by yourself,
uh-huh.
if you behind, you get someone else to help you.
Uh-huh.
Just tell the boss there, the boss send anybody go in and help
uh-huh.
you.
Uh-huh.
In other words, more or less, you own the place. You're
uh-huh.
a big boss.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you say goes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So after they put me on there, maybe after when he retired,
uh-huh.
I got in right away, see,
uh-huh.
because I guess the boss liked me or
what
something.
What is the converting department?
They converted from 100 pounds to 25 pounds,
uh-huh.
or 5 pounds, or 10, or 25.
Oh, I see.
They converted.
Uh-huh.
In other words, upstairs with a big chute, see,
uh-huh.
they dumped in the big chute there,
uh-huh.
and downstairs there, where you say you want 25,
divided.
And you put on the weight, 25
uh-huh.
pound weight,
uh-huh.
you just open the level, and all kind of, when 25 pounds up there, all of them had it shut off.
I see.
And then you pick it up, and then you seal it up,
uh-huh.
and take it outside for the filming place.
I see.
Did, see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a pretty easy job, though. I mean, you're all by yourself. It's slightly a little bit harder than checking and packing.
Uh-huh. See?
But
see.
It's more comfortable.
Right.
You do your pace. They
uh-huh.
don't know about hurry. As long as the merchandise up there.
Uh-huh.
See, sometimes I do maybe about... or two, three bell full,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and let it sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rest, I take it easy. They
yeah.
take my pace.
Uh-huh. I see.
In
so
fact,
that's pretty.
Yeah. In fact, sometimes I make myself a nice place, go to sleep in there
uh-huh.
when I get to work.
Take a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever I do, whatever the boss you need, they call on me.
Uh-huh.
Especially the, you see the way they're wasting things, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like the paper clip, pencil, and any tool they use over
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
See, the fellow, they don't care. They use it, throw it one side, throw it here, throw it. Next thing they sweep it up and throw it in the trash.
Wasteful, huh?
Wasteful, see?
Uh-huh.
I don't. See, I see something, pick it up and put it in one corner, see?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And anything they need, see ye.
Uh-huh.
Ye have it.
I see. Yeah. They call you ye, then.
Ye, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And later on, I'm more than the better than the big boss. Even big boss come to ask for me for
what
things.
So right. So you were pretty happy with all your work experiences.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And how about, you know, your personal, like, personal attitudes when, you know, back to in the early days since you came from China. Do you miss China, your village?
Well, beginning, yes. After when I come back for at least 3-4 years,
uh-huh.
I always dream about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, your childhood, you know, how you play over here, you play over there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, at least about 3-4 years, it's always on my mind.
Uh-huh. How about later years then?
Later years, it gradually goes away.
Uh-huh.
See?
Uh-huh. And did you ever thinking about going back and, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
you know
and then
years?
Once in a while I think about going back, and another thing I have on my mind too, see.
Mm-hmm.
After back in 36, I got married and come back. Now, that same thing come on my mind. So, I wonder how you bring my wife away, and how
uh-huh.
do this, and how that, you know.
So you miss him more.
Missing, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like a gradually decrease, and
yeah.
then
go away again.
Uh-huh, and then come back again,
right,
because
right.
you went back again.
Mm-hmm.
So, is this the, that was the only time you went back to China?
A long time. Went there
uh-huh.
last year.
Oh, last year,
yeah.
So you went back. Did you visit the village?
I did, yeah.
Was it
way
different?
Oh yes,
yeah.
Not like before.
You still have relatives over there, right?
Yeah, it's my uncle's son's family.
I see.
Back there.
I see. So all that years after your wife came over here, did you still communicate with the relatives in China?
No.
No, because
no.
Because of the war,
yeah.
Because of the communists took over.
Right.
So until. Now.
Yeah, then I went back.
Resume the
No, I don't hardly communicate now. Once in a while, they write for my dad, want something like that, and my dad said, well, would your kids like to donate some money? A few times like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I see. How about in terms of friends? It seems like you have friends from different ethnic backgrounds. You have Japanese good friends, Chinese
mm-hmm.
friends. How about the non-Chinese, non-Orientals?
What?
Did you associate most with them?
Yeah, I associate most of the Oriental friends.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
I see.
And I said this is not a good friend, Bob Johnston, as I tell you.
Uh-huh.
She's white.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How about blacks or Chicano?
Black, yeah, I have, during the work time, I get all friends over there.
Uh-huh,
you know,
I
because
see.
The school board there, your percents are 99% of black.
Uh-huh, I see.
And everybody know me, everybody
uh-huh.
yeah, they,
uh-huh.
They have funny part of my everybody. They call me Mr. Yee. They never call me Yee though. They all call me Mr. Yee. They're very, you know, polite about that. Other people they call me by the name, but to me they call me Mr. Yee.
They
never say Yee. I mean, once in a while they might joking around. But when they do call me, they call Mr. Yee.
So at work and it was a pretty pleasant environment.
Yes, it is.
Even the your friends are from different ethnic background. So how about your family? Your family also associate mostly with the Chinese or?
You mean
your own family?
My own family, or mostly Chinese.
Mostly Chinese, How about the language did you speak at home? Did you speak Chinese?
Mostly Chinese.
Most Chinese, And with the children also.
With children, yes. Once in a while, I speak in English.
I see. Do you feel you're more Chinese or you're more
I do
American?
Feel more Chinese. But actually, I feel that I was born over here because for the reason why I feel like I was born here, I know more English than Chinese because then I know more American customs than the Chinese custom. But I know very few background of Chinese customs.
I see. Did you observe some of the Chinese customs?
Oh, yes. So that's why I said I feel more like the
Hujidoi. So you do feel more American in the sense that you know more about American ways of doing things. Right. How about your wife?
Well, the wife more like a Chinese way.
Because she came in a little later. How did she learn?
She just
English.
English, she just pick up here and there.
She speaks very well, But did she work, you know, after that job in the shipping company?
Yes, she continued working right after this working. Then she went out sewing. And, you know, have someone bring it to the house here. Work at home. And then later on, work at home for about a few years. Then she went outside. And work.
In the factory.
In the factory,
Was that a good income for the family?
Well, between her and I, it was pretty fair.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So she actually contributed quite a bit to family. Yeah.
If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be in this position. That's how good she is.
Oh, no wonder she sold so well that she sold all the her own
All the clothes.
So she was able to take care of the family, the two children, and then at the same time went to work. How did she manage that, do you?
Well,
time-wise.
I guess we're lucky the children so good. Mind her. See, there's three of them. See, Tommy, Bobby, and Gary. Especially Gary, because he's very close to her. Because, in fact, learned Chinese. I think Gary learned more than these two here, the two oldest ones, because Gary's the youngest, is always set by his mother's place when she's sewing.
I see.
And get Chinese
character.
Take a Chinese book, see, a Chinese character, and start asking his mother. What's it? And he knows a lot of Chinese.
So actually, Mrs. Yee always took the youngest one to the sewing factory?
No, after when they're going to try, they don't take him then. They're already
But before
going.
The school.
They go to school. Take care of when Gary ran about the door, but I guess 9, 10 years old. Then she started again go out and work.
I see. How much, you know, average income, you know, of your Mrs. Yee's, you know, by doing sewing? You know, they come by piece, right?
Yeah, piece work, You get around about $200 or $300 a month.
In the early days. So that was pretty good. But then it's pretty hard though.
It is,
Yeah, but she was very capable.
Yeah, she
had
bring some home to work. She really hard work hard.
Did you ever feel sorry being Chinese? Of course you never really have too much bad experiences being a Chinese, but do you still feel that you rather be American?
Nope. If I, the way I look, that's where I like. Because I'm Chinese, that's where I look like. Because I always tell the children, like some of the lot of children, they don't want to learn Chinese. I even tell them, this, look, I say, it's not just because you're Chinese, you have to learn Chinese. I told them, if you learn Chinese, there's more language. In fact, you learn Chinese or you learn Spanish or you learn German or French, the more language you learn, the the more advantage you would have.
Right.
See, that's what I tell them all the time. Uh-huh. Because after all, you're Chinese, you should speak your motherland,
language,
uh-huh. You see. And you'll be better off because you meet them in Chinese, you have a conversation with them.
Right.
Because one happened, there's a case happened to Tommy, my oldest boy.
Mm-hmm.
First time he worked in the restaurant there,
mm-hmm.
see, as a busboy.
Uh-huh.
So you know how Chinese old people is, the head cook or whatever. You know, they don't know how to speak English. You know,
uh-huh.
Something.
Uh-huh.
All they do is speak Chinese. And mm-hmm. when they see the little youngster that born here,
uh-huh.
he think he doesn't know how to speak Chinese.
Right.
So this cook stutter, dog, you know,
uh-huh.
see, bomb out, say, who gee doy, mut from hell, you got, oh, your mother, yak, you be a dog,
uh-huh.
So, when you get a dog, Tommy didn't pay attention to him, say, he no good dog, right? Jackam, hell. So, Tommy got disgusted.
Uh-huh.
So, he goes, go on, why? When you could see, you be in long with the border, yeah, not a quiet, why, yeah. He came home and tell me, he said, Dad, Mom, he said, I'm glad you teach me Chinese.
Uh-huh.
He said, you told me the story. I told him this happened today.
Ah. Yeah, it did help. Yeah. So how about you at home when you were in Midland? Did you ever disagree with your parents being, you know, speaking Chinese all the time?
On my time, when I was in back east,
yeah.
Well, I never thought about speaking Chinese or English. At our home, mostly speaking Chinese because
it
nobody
was
speaks English.
Yes, you never disagree with your family.
Yeah,
your
never
parents.
Disagree with them.
Uh-huh.
When I go outside, then I speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Soon I step home, I speak Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Because simple reason I have to speak Chinese because they don't understand English.
English,
yeah,
I see.
That's the reason.
How about the your own children?
My own children, I always teach them, you go outside, you talk all you want.
But inside,
when you're inside here, you talk Chinese because I don't understand you talking English.
Do they understand?
Yeah, you want to talk English? Let's go outside.
Uh-huh.
That's what we tell a lot of times. They do it.
Yeah, did they sort of unwillingly or?
No, they're willing to do it.
As long as you put the emphasis on it.
Yeah.
So they.
Of course, you know, some is spoken often then, now then, you know, I overlook some of
The same. Do you think this is you are very typical Chinese or you are somehow exceptional in terms of agreeing with parents, go back to marry and
no, my mind is stripped of Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha, I feel about it. As I always say, during my time here, the white people, they look down the Chinese, just look down like a dog.
Uh-huh.
If they don't like you, if they want to beat you up, they beat you up just for nothing, just by your look.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get no job here, you can't do what they want, you can't buy the land. You can't own any land during that time when I do my time there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you could do. They don't give you no job. See, you got to work with your own people.
Mm-hmm.
Roaming around with your own people.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like that. See? Since Candy got in there, and after World War II,
mm-hmm.
then became the Chinese start opened up then, a bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before, they looked down upon, actually, sorry, a lot of those Chinese, the young kids, I explained to them. Some don't believe that because they never seen it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, in fact, there's one Chinese against me because he said I'm a Chinaman, and he said the United States are good, and so forth and so on. See, he don't care about speaking Chinese.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I bore him up.
I see. So actually, then you think most of Chinese think that the same way you think, or? Other Chinese, more or less.
Oh, you mean
the way
friend, things like
yeah,
the way I
uh-huh,
go around.
Uh-huh.
What I mean around is more likely is speaking Chinese.
Uh-huh,
on that, so.
Uh-huh.
That's how I learned my most Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Because when I got over here, went back east, stayed there for about 7-8 years, and I began to lose all my Chinese.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I gave all my reading and writing back to the teacher what
uh-huh.
I had been trying to learn.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I don't know anything now.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And until I came over here
to Los Angeles,
in fact, when I worked for Tom Govan during that time,
mm-hmm.
I didn't mingle around with them much at all,
mm-hmm.
hardly Chinese, you know,
uh-huh.
mingle around with Chinese, and always spoken English.
Uh-huh.
See? And until after World War II, Then I began to mingle around with the Chinese then. Then I started began to learn some Chinese.
I see. See?
Otherwise, it was just like the Hu Chi Doi.
How about in terms of family following the Chinese customs? You know, your family follow Chinese customs quite a lot.
Yeah, quite a lot.
So how about the religions?
Well, religion, I think a lot of my brother go to church. I'm the only one I don't care about going to church. I believe what I believe, mm-hmm. and I believe them what they believe. They're pleased because it doesn't bother me.
Okay. See? So do you, your wife, worship ancestors?
No, once in a while when some big day, the kind of bison or that.
Bison,
once in a while,
you have that.
Actually, to my opinion of it, is I don't care about what religion it is, mm-hmm. see? Because like some people said, I go to church, and they're more to, for them not to go to church at all.
Mm-hmm.
See, in other words, they use a church background to hide themselves. Mm-hmm. To my opinion, not. See,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's why.
Right. So actually, the family like for certain holidays or certain birthdays, ancestors, you know, they you still sort of buy some. You have? Do you have son now?
No.
The author. No.
Only once in a while, my wife said, "Well, just today's grandfather's birthday. Right? We just don't get here, that's all."
Oh, I see. So.
No, I mean we don't do that all the time.
Yeah, so a little bit. And how about the food? You know, do you prepare special food for special Chinese holidays?
Oh, in holiday, yes. And that we she prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the. New Year's Day, New Year's Eve Day, you know, she do it.
She prepared that.
She prepared
what kind of food for Chinese New Year's she prepares?
Well, like you know, mostly the chicken, you know.
Chicken, and, any other special?
No, regular the Chinese.
Like jai.
Yeah,
jai
and all that.
Jai, how about?
To me, as long as you prepare to eat, I don't care the jai or whatever. See, I don't hardly myself more or less a huji doi, see?
Uh-huh.
And I don't hardly believe in this, but if she's doing it, so I go along with it.
So the wife is mostly preparing for
prepare,
the Chinese and following the Chinese customs.
When
so
the day come along, I even forgot. Just one day, just as good as the other day.
But she remembers that.
Yeah, she remembers, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's great. So whenever anyone in the family get sick, do you go to American doctor or Chinese doctor?
Oh, American doctor.
In the old days, did you go like in, well, of course in Midland, you don't have other Chinese. How about in Los Angeles, old days?
No, I go to the, what you call it, the American doctor.
Still?
Because I belong to the Kaiser,
mm-hmm.
and just go straight to Kaiser.
Mm-hmm. But then when you work for Tom Gubbins?
Oh, no, no.
That time in old Chinatown?
Well, I know, during those time, I was young, I was very
never.
Strong get sick. In fact, I tell you the truth now, I never, only one time when the dentist, I'm back east, in 1926, I had full feeling.
Uh-huh.
It's still there. Mm-hmm. And I believe now, I'm pretty sure, in other words, I'm 90% sure, 10% not.
Uh-huh.
This is my third set of teeth.
Ah.
And I have no false teeth and all good.
Ah,
when you talk about teeth, I'm always bragging about that.
Aye, very good, yeah. So how about the food? Did you ever take any like medicine-oriented or food like put some
yeah, my wife do that, all that.
How about your mother? Did she prepare that when you
were? Before, once in a while, she prepared when I was back home.
Uh-huh.
Okay, once in a while.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Probably it's hard for her to get those meds.
No, you get that in Pittsburgh during my time over there. When just maybe time to when we all started when we were young.
Uh-huh.
When we say, let's say this way. Let's see, until up to Joe then. No, up to Mary. That's next to the last one when I was home.
Uh-huh.
Once in a while, we still have yeah, toy gun and all that.
So your dad will drive to Pittsburgh? And
no, my grandpa mostly going to Pittsburgh.
Did he drive, your grandfather?
No, he take a bus or take a streetcar, they call it, streetcar and train to Pittsburgh. And every weekend he usually go over there. Well, let's say not every weekend, it was a practical every weekend, we say.
Uh-huh.
And he's only one, my dad never did go. until when we came over. Uh-huh. In fact, when we're not here, I don't know if he go or not, because when we came over, we never see him went back east. Mm-hmm. Until I left home when my mom's sick, and mama told me since he goes to Pittsburgh. Yeah, gambling, thing like that. Now that's to be QT. That's mother told me now.
That's your father.
Yeah, that's my dad. See. Uh-huh. That my mom told me. See.
But that's Pittsburgh. There's a Chinatown there.
Chinatown, yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you ever visit there?
Yes, I've been there a couple of times.
I mean, before when you were kids.
When we just came over, we stopped in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
For a few days.
So in Chinatown.
Yeah, in Chinatown before. Uh-huh. Went back in Midland.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you notice any differences between Pittsburgh Chinatown and Los Angeles Chinatown?
No comparison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we stop here?
No comparison
here,
over here, way different.
This is a bigger one?
Oh, bigger, better, and everything.
I see, yeah.